We're going to talk today for the next couple of seconds, kind of set the stage where we're going. Let me just talk to you about the benefits of eating lettuce. Some of you might think, this is the weirdest church I've ever been in. I thought they were going to give me some spiritual stuff, and now Pastor Gary is going to talk to me about eating my salad. Let's talk about some benefits of lettuce today. Look on the screen. Lettuce has a low calorie content and almost zero fat. A cup of shredded lettuce is only about 12 calories. Kind of interesting. Lettuce helps you lose weight. It contains fiber that will improve your digestion and will actually be essential for long-term weight control. There's fiber that actually removes bile salts from your body, and when it actually helps you, the body replace the salts, and it breaks down cholesterol. So if you're fighting some cholesterol, you got to eat your lettuce. Number three, it helps with heart health, that the vitamin C in lettuce actually has beta carotene that will actually work together to prevent any oxidation of cholesterol and prevents the buildup of plaque in your heart and your arteries and all that stuff. Number four, doctors tell us that it's a good source, of course, of omega-3 fatty acids. Number five, it actually is a complete protein. That romaine lettuce actually has 20% of the calories, protein calories, that are good for our body, you know, outside of just eating meat. Number six, it helps with insomnia. That the white fluid that you see when you break open, cut open lettuce, is something called lactucarium. That it really is an aid in causing relaxation and sleep-inducing properties. And number seven, just two more. Number seven is that lettuce is actually alkaline-forming. That the minerals in lettuce help remove toxins and keep your acidic and your alkaline balance in order. And number eight, it actually has a low glycemic index. So lettuce has an average glycemic index of 15, but because it has so few calories, the load is actually considered zero. That with foods with low glycemic indexes are great for anyone watching their blood sugar levels or for medical reasons, a weight management. And so today, come on, just look at your neighbor and say, eat your salad. Would you do that? Just eat your salad. Eat your salad. Now, come on, if you know me, which some of you don't, some of you are guests, come with their families this morning. We're so glad you're here. We're not the church that's going to get up here and talk about, you know, your sugar content and your lettuce. But what we want to use is we want to just make, hopefully, you know, the image that we had up there about eat your salad and the thought about lettuce that will leave an indelible, you know, imprint on your mind, that we want to look at what the Word says about this fact and this thought, not lettuce, L-E-T-T-U-C-E, but we're going to look at what the Bible says about let us, capital L-E-T, another word, capital U-S. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, let us. Come on, let us. Look at your other neighbor and say, let us. So, we're not going to talk about you need to go to the salad bar today, although you might. But we do know, and we're going to find out all throughout the Bible, it talks about these two words together, let us. We're going to look at three. We're going to look at one today, another next week, and the following one, all in this passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. So if you got a Bible, you got an electronic device, open it up or look on the screen behind me. We'll have the Scriptures back there. Hebrews 10, 22. Notice what it says. Having a high priest over the house of God, and this is none other than the person Jesus, it says, verse 22, come on, read it out loud. Let us draw near with a true heart, it says, and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed, it says, with pure water. It says again, verse 22, it says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. So for the next 35, 40 minutes or so, we're going to break this down. Hopefully some things resonate in you, that we're really done talking about the green stuff called lettuce or salad. We're going to talk about this spiritual lettuce that the Bible says we need to be a part of. It says four words here, that these four words should have impact in your life, not only today, but for the rest of your life. that here the writer of Hebrews, who really is unnamed, a lot of people think it was the Apostle Paul. It's really not relevant to our talk today. But he actually says here, not just for a person, but for an entire church is what he's writing to. Let us draw near. So it's not just the grandma that's been serving God for all her life. It's not the person that's in a difficult situation and they need some change in their life. It's not for the kid that's addicted to crack and he needs to kind of make a shift in his life. And so this let us draw near is for them. No, it is for everybody in every situation of your life, in every season of your life. Let us all draw near to God. It can be a frightful thing. It can be an unnerving thing. We'll talk about it a little bit today about what the Bible actually says concerning this very, very important four-word scenario here. Write it down. Look on the screen behind me. Hope you never forget it. Don't substitute information for intimacy. Don't substitute information for intimacy. One of the things that I struggle with, honestly, is that there's so much information that's coming across my desk, my laptop, my phone, that I've got internet, I've got text, like all y'all, I'm hooked up, I'm connected, social media, I got beeping and blind, and I've got phones, and I got all kind of alerts, and I got stuff happening all the time, that I've got information coming. I can read the Bible all the time and I've got information coming. I can read godly books and I can watch godly DVDs. And nothing wrong with all that. We need to do that. But I can have knowledge with no intimacy. God wants us to draw near to Him. Let us draw near, not just for information, but so that we get to know Him and He gets to know us. The Holy Spirit is the believer's teacher of all that the Word has said, and He will reveal the heart of Jesus and the plan of God to us. Can I just say it this way? You need a daily encounter with God. You don't need a yearly encounter. You don't need just a Sunday encounter. You don't need something where the kids go away to youth camp and they get an encounter with God and they come back all fired up. And like everybody that's seen it, no dig on that, because we take our kids every year, or we come on May 3rd to Israel Campbell at 6 p.m. No dig with that you're going to come and you're going to get fired up. But if that's all you got is just a little bit of bleep on the screen of a heartbeat where it goes up and you come right back down, you missed the point. The point is to get you up and to keep you up if you'll keep drawing near. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, draw near. Draw near. I was just thinking about my grandmother's house and my grandfather's house. They had a really cool old school house. It was built by a captain up in Connecticut in the late 1800s. And they lived there. So as a kid growing up, we would spend 2 weeks of summer and go hang out with my grandma and grandpa, and they lived right on the Pawcatuck River. We went out to the Atlantic Ocean, we fishing and hanging around with our seven, cousins, and we just had a blast for 2 weeks of the summer. And one of the things that's kind of cool about this old house was that on the property, it was several acres, and on the property right in front of the house, they still had the old well still there. It wasn't a functioning well anymore, because the water had been piped through and all that kind of stuff. But at one time, they actually had the crank, and the crank, had the barrel. And so you dropped the crank down into the well, and the bucket went down, and they got the water, and it brought the water up. And so this was before the days of running water, and out, about 100 to 125 yards from the house, there was an actual outhouse. And so us kids would go in there and mess around and try to throw our other, cousins down the outhouse and all that kind of stuff, just like cousins do. Come on, somebody. And so there was some stuff there that, I just wasn't accustomed to, but talking to my grandparents and talking to what they used to have to do and the people who actually built the house, the well was really important. And you never got what was in the well unless you got close to the well. And you never could get what was in the well until what went down to the water and actually draw it out. And so I really think that there's a lot of people that we get around and we kind of like, it's been said that the United States is a Christian culture, is a Christian, is a Christian country. Come on, buy a humbug on that, man. Well, you can call anybody you want to call, but if people aren't drawn near, people's lives aren't being changed, and they're not drinking of that which the well is giving, then are we really what the well is producing? Which is probably no. The habit of drawing near, notice on the screen, the habit of drawing near positions you to receive life from God. Again, not a one-day thing, not a one kind of just twitch that I'm going to do, not a knee-jerk reaction, but developing the godly habit, the daily habit of drawing near to God is going to position me to receive life. Every day they'd have to go to the well, they'd have to draw water from the well for water or for drinking or for bathing or for cleansing, you know, cleaning dishes, all that stuff. Every day it was so important. It was part of their lifestyle. And again, the picture is that I need to go to God and need to spend time with God every day that I make sure that this part of the Scripture is working in me. Let us draw near. And he says, with a true heart. And I've got to draw near. And I've got to draw near with an honest heart, an open heart. I draw near, notice on the screen. I draw near so I can draw out. I have to draw near. God's got something I need. There's something in the Word. There's something in this water. There's something in church. There's something in me getting involved in a circle, a small group at our church. There's something me getting around people of like precious faith. I'm required to draw near to people at my employment. I'm required to draw near to people in the class I'm at in high school or whatever you're at in college. I have to do that to get my diploma. I have to do that for my employment. But God says, I want you to draw near to me personally. I want you to draw near to me corporately so that you can regularly experience a hearing and a word and an encouragement and a different spirit and something that's on you gets washed off you when you come into a place of just being with God. We draw near so we can draw out. Number two, we draw near so we can hear. There's something about drawing near to God where I can hear, where all of a sudden the shuffle of the world and all the white noise of the world just gets settled down, where I can really hear God. Are you having trouble hearing God? Are you having trouble making decisions? I don't know what to do. I've got so many things I could possibly do. What do I do? Listen, there is a pathway to go. It might be a pathway that everybody else is saying it's crazy. It's not what you should do. But if you look and say, God, I gotta know what you want to do with my life. And if you'll cry out to Him, He'll shut all the rest of those things down. And it will be so clear and so apparent when you draw near so you can hear. The farther you are away, let's be real, the harder it is to hear. It's just hard to hear. Intimacy with God is all about closeness, isn't it? It's all about closeness. And when I'm close, there's intimacy, there's openness. I'm comfortable. He's comfortable. I understand He's comfortable with me. I understand that God's not. I'm not ticking God off, and He ain't ticking me off. But He's not mad when I come and talk to Him. He's not mad when I pray. He's not agitated. He's not frustrated with me. He's not going to put a lightning bolt on me. He's not going to burn me up. He's going to welcome me. But let's be real. Closeness for a lot of us is really scary, isn't it? Being vulnerable, being open. I remember we were at a marriage thing years and years ago, this marriage conference. And so part of the exercise was you're sitting at a table. Oh, gosh, I don't know how many years we've been married. Maybe 20 years at the time, maybe 18. And part of the exercise was you sit across the table with your spouse, who I love with all my heart. And you grab their hand and you look in their eyes and you start saying something deep. How many know I got cat and mouth about that time? Come on, somebody. And Kimberly started saying stuff and I just went, yeah, that's how I feel too, baby. That's how I feel too. Like a normal man. Come on, somebody help the men in the room, Jesus. Amen. I really believe that God wants us to have what somebody called hot conversations with us. Honest, open, and transparent. Honest, open, and transparent. Where, have you had a friend like that that just said, you know, can we just talk? Can we just talk? I mean, you're a good friend. Can we just talk? You know, you are really sabotaging your life. And hopefully they'd hear you. I believe God wants to regularly have honest, open, transparent conversations with us. Again, not to pin us to the wall, but for our help. He wants to reveal the Word to us. He wants to sharpen us. He wants to speak life over us. He wants to tell you, listen, you keep thinking this that I don't love you, or you keep thinking this that you're not righteous, or you keep thinking this that my plan's for somebody else but not for you. That's not true. That's just not true. When you read the Bible and you're alone with God and you say, I'm making a decision to draw near. I'm going to eat my lettuce. And let us, I am going to draw near to Him. John is in a great, again, this guy we read a minute ago when we talked about the offering. Well, he wrote a book called John. In John 7, as part of the chapter 7, John 7, verse 37, where Jesus is standing up before all the people, and it's the last day, this great day of the feast, and Jesus says something really astounding. He says this, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Again, the picture, if you know a little bit about what's going on, the high priest at that time would actually take some water and he'd pour it out the temple, and the water would actually go down the steps. And so Jesus takes this word picture that was just done by a priest, a natural man, and he says, hey, I know y'all just saw that, but let me tell you something else. If anybody is thirsty, not for natural water, but for spiritual water, if anyone's thirsty, all you got to do is come to me and drink. You've got to draw near to the well, and you've got to put your bucket down, and you've got to bring it up, and you've got to drink. If you'll come to me, I will satisfy you for everything you need in your life. I'll help you as a man. I'll help you as a woman. I'll help you as a dad. I'll help you as a mom doing chore work. I'll help you with your child training. I'll help you in every area of your life. If life has thrown you a curveball, I will help you. But hear me. He doesn't help you from afar. Got to draw near. Because that means you mean business with Him. And just that movement toward Him says, you show me you're thirsty. You prove to me you're thirsty. So I got to make myself drag on my kids and come to church. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I got to make myself when I don't want to. Preachers don't always want to read the Word. Come on, somebody. I've been reading it for 35 years. Seems like I would have got it. But how many know you don't get it? Every time you open it, you go, dear Lord, there's something else right there. Wow. If you'll just stay thirsty and stay hungry. You know what I found about hunger? The more you eat, the more you want to eat. True confession. Last night, come on. Pastor's confession right now. How many of you want to hear pastor's confession? Yeah, okay. Ladies had an event here last night, or yesterday, Rejuvenate Conference. Some of y'all ladies went. Woo! Heard it was amazing. Heard it was amazing. Well, the ladies got ordered in Chick-fil-A.
I know.
They got ordered in Chick-fil-A. And so, being a good pastor's wife, Pastor Kimberly, there was some extra Chick-fil-A sandwiches left. And so she brought home a box.
Hallelujah.
And so, guess what I did? I ate that Chick-fil-A sandwich. But then you know what? I hadn't had a Chick-fil-A sandwich in a long time. And so Brittany came, our daughter, and Brittany brought home a Chick-fil-A sandwich for her husband, Tony. But you know what I did as a good father-in-law? I said, one Chick-fil-A sandwich, this ain't going to help this brother. I need another one. So I ate two Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Heavy mayonnaise. Come on, somebody. Heavy mayonnaise. There's certain things that you eat and you just kind of keep wanting it. But you know what I found out? If you start eating, eat good. If you start eating your lettuce, real lettuce, you'll start wanting it. I mean, I'm like doing crazy stuff right now. We go to Costco. Come on, somebody. You go to Costco and everything's big. Come on, somebody. Bigger's better. Costco was born in Texas. Anyway. And we get this big bag of spinach, and I tell you what, no dressing on it, no nothing. I just got a bag of spinach out there, and I'll be eating something like a piece of chicken breast or something, and I'm just popping spinach in my mouth, raw. How many of y'all do you pray for me a little bit more? Come on, just pray for me. But it just tastes good. You know what? All of a sudden, your taste buds come alive. You're leaving fried food, whatever, like I grew up on. You start leaving that stuff, and you start eating good stuff. You start drawing near, and guess what? You want to keep eating more of it. I guarantee you. If you start letting us, you, drawing near to God, you'll say, I got to have God today. Come on, somebody. I got to have me some God up in here today. I got to be reading the Bible. He's speaking to me. He's answering me. I sense His Word alive in me. He's talking to my kids. He's working out stuff at my job. I see the benefit of drawing near to Him. What's it look like? What's drawing near look like? Well, let's look at a scripture that kind of talks about the reverse of what we're really talking about, but it'll give us a good word picture. In Matthew 15, verse 8, notice what it says. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips. But come on, read the rest of it. But their heart is far from me. So let's just take it this way. Drawing near is a heart thing that affects your actions, not just words. Right? Words are cheap, aren't they? Let's be real. Words are cheap. So really what Jesus is saying here is that it can't just be a mouth thing. It can't just be a turn toward God thing. It can't be a blip on the screen. It can't be one of those, Jesus, help me, prayer, help me, help me, help me. And then after that prayer, and He helps me, I go back to an old lifestyle. No, I've completely turned. Doesn't mean I haven't got issues. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. That's not the point. It means that I've turned and I'm growing in my relationship with Him. I'm drawing near to Him. I'm drawing near the well of living water. He's got something to give to me that I desperately need. Someone said this, that hunger in the natural realm leads people to riot, and hunger in the spirit realm leads people to revival. I'm praying for more and more hungry people at our church. Here's the question, though. Are you going to be one of them? Are you going to be one of them? Well, I get hungry if somebody fires me up. Wrong. I just need somebody to encourage me. Well, maybe, but come on. You might need to just kind of encourage yourself. You're never going to read the Word and not get encouraged. It's as you say, I'm thirsty. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. And anybody, it just seems like Jesus, again, the thought, maybe you've got a different view of it, but read the Gospels and maybe we can talk about it. It seems like Jesus really didn't have anything to talk to about anybody unless they were thirsty. The religious people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious people today. They thought they had God and the Word and the Old Testament and the writings of the Hebrews all to themselves. They had it all figured out. And the living Word, Jesus, the Messiah, is standing before them. God's before them, and they can't receive from Him. So it seems that if you think you got your life all together and your act all together, Jesus says, mum's the word. My lips are zip. But if you say, I'm hungry, I need help, let us draw near to you. I'm drawing near to you. He says, I'm going to start talking to you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to show things to you. I'm going to reveal truth to you. And I believe you're here today because that's so in your life. That scripture we read in Hebrews 10:22, it actually says this, that the Christian has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It uses the phrase, your heart's been sprinkled. Talk about you've been born again. And then it says, number two, that the body has been washed by the sanctifying and cleansing power of the Word. Simply said, three things, look on the screen, is that God made you holy so you can draw near to Him. Holiness isn't something that you work towards. It's something that God makes you. God calls you holy. He says you are holy. Now just go ahead and keep acting holy. He calls you that. Number two, you have a right to draw near to God. God wants me. I thought it's just for a pastor. I thought it's just for a pope. I thought it's just for the holy Christian. No, God wants all of us to have a relationship with Him. Let us draw near to Him. He wants that for all of us. We have a right to draw near to God. Just like my four kids have access to me anytime they want. They can come to me. You have that same access with God. And number three, you have a responsibility to draw near to God. Because it's not just about you. It's now about what God wants to do through my life. What's God want to do with my marriage? What's God want to do with these kids? What's God want to do with my grandkids? What's God want to do with my job? What's God want to do with the grace of God on my life to help be a blessing to somebody else? I need to draw near to God so I can find out His will, His purpose, His design for my life. Three things let's talk about for the rest of the time that we're together. Person, prayer, person, prayer, and presence. You and I are drawing near to a person in prayer so we can experience His presence that will change every area of our life for the better. This is the goal. This is the design. This is the heart of God for every believer, for every man and woman on the earth, saved or unsaved, those that know or don't know. This is the will of God. This is the design of God, the plan of God. God wants every person to draw near to a person, and the person's God, in prayer, and we'll talk about that in prayer, so that you can experience His presence. Let's talk about the person. Let's talk about the person. In the Old Testament, when you read some stuff, it'll just make you scratch your head and go, my lordy, lordy, lordy. There's a guy named Moses, and Moses is called by God. He's a prophet, we find out. He's a spokesman for God. He's actually delivered the nation of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. It says that they were in bondage for 430 years. And God starts talking to Moses and using Moses, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, and they come out into the wilderness, and God talks to Moses about what's going to be acceptable and worship and sacrifices, and there's a portable tent. We call it a portable church. It would be, you know, a set-up and tear-down church. They had the Ark of the Covenant was there. I mean, it was amazing what they set up, and they moved. The Bible says there was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And whenever the cloud stopped, that was God speaking to Moses, you stop and you camp right here. If the cloud started moving, God said, pack up, everybody. We got to move. Well, part of that was this tabernacle that they'd set up and tear down. Well, they came to one place, and God is going to begin talking to Moses. Pick this up in chapter 19 of Exodus, verse 16. Notice what's going on when God came down. Let's just say it that way. Verse 16. It came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings, and there were lightnings, and there was a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Lightnings, thunders, clouds, trumpet, not human trumpet, heaven trumpet blowing. How many know if you hear something and no one's playing the trumpet, it's going to get your attention? If you look up at a mountain, come on somebody, you look up Mount Miguel or Mount Palomar Mountain, and you look and all of a sudden, there's lightning, there's cloud, there's fire, there's smoke, and you're hearing a sound coming from the mountain, it's going to make you stand up a little bit. It says, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the mountain, at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai, that's the mountain, was completely in smoke. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire. We got fire on the mountain. And the smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked. The mountain's quaking. My God. The blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder. And Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice, and the Lord came down on the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. All that's going on. And Moses had a relationship with God. And Moses, I'm thinking, is thinking, whoo, this is some crazy stuff up in here. But I do know one thing. He, God, isn't going to kill me on the mountain. And so I am going to draw near. Other people were afraid, the Bible says. They were shaking. They were quaking. Why were they doing that? And Moses wasn't doing that. Because Moses had a relationship with God, and he knew who he was. If you knew who God was, you'd want to run to him and draw near to him every day of your life. Come on, every day of your life. The person, God. In the New Testament, Jesus came, who's God in the flesh, and Jesus doesn't portray God as fire and lightning and smoke, and quaking, and trumpet blasting. Jesus reveals to us that God is called Father. He's a Father. And not just maybe for some of us in the room that we've grown up and we've had abusive fathers or challenging relationships and situations. That's not the picture of our Heavenly Father. It says over in James 4:8, it says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. In other words, it's your move. It's my move. In chess, a person who moves twice is a cheater. God's not a cheater. God's positioned our life and He's working in our life. And He says, I've moved, I've drawn near through Jesus. Now you draw near to me. It says in Psalm 73, great scripture, it says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. Come on, can you read that out loud today? Come on. But it is good for me to draw near to God. It's good for me. Over in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's several, we see several pictures and we see these words used of who God really is. Notice on the screen. He's loving, He's kind, He's merciful, He's compassionate, He's slow to anger, He's faithful, He's reliable, He's trustworthy, He's dependable. He's all-wise, He's sovereign, He's holy, He's pure, He's righteous, He's just, He's omniscient, He's all-knowing, He's omnipresent, He's everywhere, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful. And this all-powerful, all-omniscient, all-knowing God wants to have a relationship with you and me. And He says, Gary, would you please eat your lettuce? And would you draw near to me? Now, how God worked in Jesus, how He worked in Jesus, is exactly how God's going to work in you. The Bible calls you a son of God, a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. So what we pick up when we read the Bible maybe isn't the same as the way we were taught or the way we thought. That how God loved Jesus and how God led Jesus and how God fed Jesus is exactly how God's going to do it for you. If He did it for Jesus, He's going to do it for you. Ooh, that might be sacrilegious. You might think, oh my God, how can that be? When you read the Bible, you find out that Jesus was the capital S Son of God, but God calls you a little s Son of God. You have access to everything heaven has. Why wouldn't we draw near? Why wouldn't we draw near? We draw near to a person. We draw near to a person, I said, in prayer. In prayer. Now, here's what I want to do. I just want to talk just a couple more minutes. Y'all are doing real good. Thanks for listening. We draw near in prayer. I'd like you just to think for a second if we could substitute prayer for just the word talk. We draw near and we talk. We draw near to a person in talking. In talking. Because I think when we talk about prayer, we think about maybe praying for somebody else or some prayers that we prayed that are whatever that we heard. Not against all that, which that's part of prayer, but simply this thought is that we draw near to a person to have relationship, talking about fellowship, talking about what the Bible says, like this word communion. There's common union. There's a connection between me and the person I'm talking to and having a relationship with. God wants and expects a relationship with you. But why is it so hard for so many of us to pray? You know, I've been there before. Maybe you're there today. Let me just help you. A couple things. Prayer involves communication. I don't think we're real good communicators. Prayer involves communication. Again, we talked about earlier, prayer involves just hot conversations. I need to be open, honest, and transparent with God. I want to hear from Him. And if there's an area in my life that I need to make adjustments on, Lord, talk to me. But I need you. I need your counsel. I need your wisdom. I need your direction. I need your input concerning this area of my life. And it's amazing what I've found is that it seems like a lot of times when I'm praying, I'm talking, I'm just communing, I'm fellowship with God, I'm reading the Word, and there's a dialogue kind of going on that I'm asking some questions. And I might not be hearing anything right then, but while I'm out during the day, while I'm out a week from then, whatever it is, all of a sudden the answer comes. All of a sudden the wisdom comes. All of a sudden, an idea comes that helps me navigate what I prayed for a day ago, a week ago, or a month ago. Something happens when you decide, I'm drawing near to a person in prayer, and I'm opening up the lines of communication, that God can start talking to you. Prayer involves listening. Write it down. Prayer involves listening. They say the number one thing you need to be a good communicator is to listen better. Prayer involves listening. And prayer involves denial of self. Where you actually say, I need God. I want you in my life, so I'm drawing near so I can hear you. What do you want to do in my life? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do with my children? What do you want me to do? I got a problem in my marriage. I'm tired. I've been having the same problem for 16 years. Dear Lord, help me. How many know He'll help you if you'll draw near and you'll ask Him? You know, over in the book of Luke, several times, four times at least, that I find that talks about Jesus and what He did concerning this subject. Look on the screen. In Luke 5:16, it says, He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That's Jesus. In Luke 6:12, He went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Communion, communication with God, fellowship with God. Luke 9:18, and it happened as He was alone praying that His disciples joined Him. As He was praying, other people came to Him. I think that's symbolic for all of us as well. Luke 11:1, now it happened as He was alone praying. It says, now it came to pass when He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased or when He stopped, it says, one of His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's when the Lord talked to them about the Lord's Prayer. The thought I want you to get is that if Jesus was always alone, talking and praying, and in this relationship with God, letting Him draw near to God, how many know it's going to be important for you as well? Amen. Let us draw near. And if I draw near, guess what that means? I'm going to have to not draw so near to social media. I'm probably going to have to not draw near to maybe recreation time that's overtaken my life. I'm going to have to not draw near to some things in my life where I need to make adjustments in my life. If you want to make adjustments in your life physically, wow. And maybe you're challenged and you're wanting to lose some weight, or you went to the doctor and the doctor said, dude, if you don't do it, you're diabetic, bro. Your clock is working. And you go, that's okay, no big deal, I'm just going to believe God. You believe God and you don't change the way you eat, you're dying early, brother. I'm going to bury you. I don't care what you say, I'm going to bury you. I'm going to bury you. Too early. If there's some things and challenges that come against us and we have no control over, even physically, we just have to believe God, that's cool. God's going to help you in that area. But there's some things that we need to do. Dude, you got to... I was on a bike ride yesterday with a guy, and I said, man, how you doing? We were 62 miles, we were gone. And he's coming back. I said, Peter, how you doing? And he said, man, I'm not sleeping good, I'm not eating good. I said, dude, if you don't sleep good and you don't eat good, the body you've got is going to waste out. He said, I know, I need to make some changes. Make some changes. I said, a physical body, a spiritual body. We say, Lord, I need some help. And I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and ask you to help me. No, I've got to draw near. I've got to make some changes. I got to make some adjustments in my life to alter what I'm doing so that I can have Your will in my life and I can see Your plan work in me. Remember Jesus in the garden when He prayed that prayer, you know, Easter, you know, He's right before the cross and the Bible says He's sweating great drops of blood. It was crazy, painful thing because He knows what's coming. You know, the cross is coming. He's going to die. His physical body is going to die. He's going to take on the sins of the world. That's what it says. So He's in the garden, and He says, you know, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then He says this, right? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. Part of this prayer, and part of this time that you're going to be alone with this person, is that you and I are going to have to regularly surrender to the will of God. Not my will. Lord, what's Your will? What's Your will? I need to know Your will in this area of my life. And you know, it's really interesting. God, Jesus, prayed it three times. And so this is something where you and I are going to regularly have to pray, where our will becomes aligned with God's will. If Jesus had to do it, you're going to have to do it as well. Come on, work with me for about 8 more minutes. Y'all okay this morning? How about y'all in the back? You okay? Will you give me 7 minutes? Huh? Huh? Stephen, 7 minutes? 6 minutes, he said. Okay, here we go. All right. He said, I'll give you 6. I heard that. We're drawing near to a person in prayer, communication, talking, so we can experience, anybody remember number three? So we can experience His
presence.
Wow. His presence. I've been to some churches and man, it's like going to Walmart. There was no presence. I've been around, can I be honest with you? Some people who seemed like they were great heroes or heroines of faith, but there was just no presence. There's something about God you don't get anywhere else. You don't get it at the Padres game. You don't get it when you cash in your Macy's coupon for an extra 25% off. Somebody help my wife. Come on, somebody. I always pick on her. David says something amazing. And most theologians believe in chapter 51 of Psalm. It's the whole passage where David's life, listen to me, forgive me for saying it this way, but you'll get it. He screwed up. He just screwed up. What I know about screw-ups is that screw-ups just don't affect you. They affect the people that you love. And David has done something horrific. David actually saw a woman named Bathsheba. And the plot is amazing. He is leading the commander of the army. And he takes Uriah and positions him close to enemy lines. And so Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, gets killed. Because before, David saw her. And David told his servants, get her. Brought him, her, to his house and slept with her. She conceived, had a baby. And God says, that displeases me. So much so, we don't read it affecting David. But a prophet came and spoke to David, pinned his ears to the wall. And David repented. That's why David is never called a perfect man, but he's called a man after God's own heart. No one's perfect. But when the presence of God or the Word of God hits you, you go, I got to make some changes in my life. So chapter 51, David says this, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was so aware that any success he had in his life was from two sources, the presence of God and the person and power of the Holy Spirit, that he just says, my God, I can't believe, I can't imagine going through life without the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this. David did say that, and it's recorded. But God would never do it. God's never removing the Holy Spirit from a Christian. God's never removing His presence from your life. But the thought is, David's saying, my life has been wrapped up in knowing and coming to know a person in relationship, communication, prayer, so that I can experience His presence. I need His presence as a king. I need His presence as I'm leading this nation. I need His presence to do the will of God. And I can't imagine going on without it. I just wonder how many people go through life and they've never realized you're going through life without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In my marriage, my job, coming to church, just going through, clocking time. God wants you to experience His presence that will just completely change every area of your life. God's presence. God's presence can be seen, can be felt, can be heard. God's presence can be understood. It can be known. It can be known. I can't tell you as a 55-year-old guy how many times it's just like alone, in a car, bedroom, conference, church, right here in the front row praising God. Woo! Just the presence of God. Where you go, I recognize you. I hear you. I sense you. Why is God doing that? Because He wants to strengthen you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to speak to you. Drawing near doesn't have to be an outward show. Doesn't have to be some. It's just you yourself. Make it part of your regular routine to draw near to a person in prayer, talking, communion, so you can experience His presence that will then lead you and guide you and direct you every single day of your life. But again, it's up to you and it's up to me. Last thing I'll say. Remember the story before we talk about Moses. Remember the story before the Red Sea, before the plagues, before all that. When you read it, for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was raised in Egypt, and he was under Pharaoh's tutelage. He was leading, had it all going on, had servants, had all kind of stuff happening. But then he realizes that he came to himself. We've seen Charlton Heston movie. He comes to himself and he realizes, I'm a Hebrew. I'm not an Egyptian. And then he saw some people fighting and he killed a man and he buried him. And then that was found out. And so he was shocked and he ran. And he's in the wilderness. For the next 40 years of his life, he's in the wilderness. Listen, he's married. He has kids. He has a job. He's a sheep herder. But there's no presence. There's no presence. He's not following a person. He's not in prayer. And the Bible says that while he's there one day, I believe it's Exodus 3, you can look it up. He's feeding the sheep, and all of a sudden he looks around, and there's a bush that's burning. There's a bush that's burning. And he just looks at this thing, and he stops, and it captures him. And it's not a lightning strike, I've seen that before. This bush is burning, and yet it's not consumed. So he stops and he turns toward it. And when he turns toward it, God talks to him out of a bush. When he draws near, he starts hearing the voice of God. God starts talking to him. First thing after God speaks to him, says, take off your shoes. Place where you're standing is holy ground. So I just pray today, whatever you're going through, I pray today you just stop long enough. Today, before you go to bed, tomorrow, and just turn toward God. If you draw near to Him, He is going to speak to you. You're going to hear Him. He's going to encourage you. He's going to direct you to good, godly relationships. He's going to give you encouragement. He's going to give you counsel. He's going to give you wisdom. You're going to sense His peace. There's just no telling what will happen. Years of hurt, frustration, maybe stuff that went on in church years ago, a decade, 20 years ago, that's still affecting you today. The divorce 15 years ago has still got its tentacles in your life today, hurting you. The relationships with kids or stepkids, and it's all confused, and it's God's just going to start unwrapping all that stuff as you eat your lettuce. It's going to work in my life. It's going to bring health in my life. It's going to bring strength in my life. Health in every area of your life starts right here. Come on, one more time with your eyes closed. Would you just say it? Let us draw near to Him. Come on, say it. Let us draw near to Him. Come on, make it personal. Say, I will draw near to Him. Come on, say it like you mean it. I will draw near to Him. I believe it with all my heart. Come on, stand up right where you're at. stand up right where you're at. Come on, bow your head, close your eyes. Would you do that just for the next 30 seconds? No one moving around. Come on, give everyone the right to privacy here in the room. I want to encourage you just to kind of put a little circle around you in that chair right there. Your eyes are closed. You can keep your head up or you can bow your head. Just come on, your eyes are closed. It's just like saying, I'm just shut in right now. I'm shut in. Nothing's going to mess with me right now. I'm just shut in. Me and God, not me and my neighbor, not me and my wife, not me and my husband, not me and my friend, not me and my kids, just me and God. Here's the question. I want to come and get in the middle of you and God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I didn't say, have you heard about Him? I haven't said, are you ever read about Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Have you drawn near and said, I want a life change? I want a change in my life. I'm ready for a change in my life. If you're telling me that this God, this Father, isn't like a lightning bolt and a sound, thunder. Wow, I thought God was kind of mean and mad and bitter with me. But you're telling me He's loving? He's kind? He's merciful? He's compassionate? Yes. Yes. That's what He's got for you, right there where you're at. If you don't know this God, but you want to know Him today, we want to pray for you. I believe that's why you're here in the church service. We'd be wrong if we let you go without introducing you to the person that changed my life and changed so many people here all around you. We don't want you to feel embarrassed. We don't want you to feel ashamed, but we sure want to make a bold and a public declaration that Jesus can change your life and will change your life. So if you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you're here and you're away from Him. You've heard about God. You've heard about Jesus. You once were drawn near, but then you pulled back for whatever reason. It doesn't matter.